Well, friends, we've come together on a special church holiday. You'll hear some people talk about this as the birth of the Christian church, because we're celebrating this final sending out of the disciples that Jesus did through the Holy Spirit. And we call it Pentecost, but we didn't actually come up with the name Pentecost. Pentecost was a holiday already happening in the Jewish family. It was also called Shavuot, or the Festival of Weeks. And it was celebrated 50 days after Passover, 50, Penta, that's where we get the name. And it was both a spiritual and an agricultural festival. So spiritually, it celebrated the giving of the law of Moses. And agriculturally, it celebrated the first wheat harvest of the spring. And so it was a time when people from all over the areas, all over countries wide would come. It was one of the pilgrimage festivals. So people would pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And so our Pentecost is 50 days after our celebration of the resurrection, because Jesus's death was right at Passover when he was celebrating with his disciples prior to his crucifixion. And what we didn't cover last week was 10 days prior to now, to Pentecost, Jesus ascended to heaven. And he told the disciples, wait, I'm sending you an advocate. I'm sending you a spirit to go with you, to be with you. So we're going to hear this exciting traditional story of Pentecost that we all know and love if we've been in the church a while. It's written by Luke, the author of Acts, and Joyce is going to read today from Acts chapter 2. This part won't be on the screen, and we're reading it from the Message interpretation. It won't be on the screen, Jimmy, so you don't, yeah. Just listen, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it.
Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on a run. Then, when they heard one after another, their own mother's tongues began spoken. They were blown away. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galatians? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues?" Oh, yeah, you had to put this paragraph in, huh? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia.
We'll need to read this part.
Yeah, read that part. That's way too many words, I don't know.
Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs.
They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talk back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joke. They're drunk on cheap wine. That's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with full urgency. Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. That is what the prophet Joel announced. What happened? In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions. Your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and veil prophecy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red, before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous. All whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So we get this imagery of fire, tongues of fire above people's heads, wind. We have the sounds of wind and sounds of foreign languages, not speaking in tongues, but just foreign languages being spoken so that all the visitors can hear the good news of Jesus in their native language. God's hospitality, God's spirit, will reach out to all who will hear in whatever language and culture and ways that work for them. So it's a really inclusive moment when this spirit comes. Now, the disciples and the people that were in that protected room didn't stay there. The Pentecost story is one of being empowered and therefore sent out, sent to go make disciples, sent to go forgive sins. And so we are all filled with the Holy Spirit. We are all sent out, and we're given the strength to go do that. Michelle, I have a little craft project you can take home for Tony. It's, you cut out this part, and it's a, you roll it up, make a candle, tape it, and then tape the flame on top. And on the outside of the candle, it says hello in all sorts of languages. So if you think you'd want to take that home and do that with them, that might be fun. So that's our traditional story of Pentecost. The sending of the Holy Spirit 50 days after the resurrection, as told by Luke. You might be less familiar with the story of the sending of the Holy Spirit, which we could call a Pentecost moment of the Gospel of John. You can go back. I'm not going to get to it right away, probably. We'll see.
We're checking to see if it was there.
Yes. So the situation's completely different in this gospel. And that's not to say one gospel is right and one's wrong. It just sometimes things happen more than one time and in different ways. And John's passage doesn't get a lot of airtime on Pentecost. And it felt like time to hear it. So the moment in John doesn't come 50 days after the resurrection. It comes on the evening of the same day. So we have to take ourselves back to Easter. And in the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene met the risen Christ in the garden. And while the two disciples had seen the empty tomb, they ran back before Mary met who she thought was the gardener, turned out to be Jesus. And so he sent her to them with a message that he was returning to God the Father, and to go ahead and tell them what he told her. So she tells the disciples about this, and it's the evening of Easter. So now we'll go ahead and read, and I'm reading again from the message, just to keep in the same tone. John 20:19-23. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus entered, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them his hands and side. The disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were awestruck. Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you." Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them. "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said. "If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, well, what are you going to do with them?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Breath is pretty important. Would you agree with that? Mm-hmm. I bet you either know someone, or maybe at one point in your life you have had a condition which required assistance, whether it's an inhaler, all the way up to the oxygen or intubation. In 2018, there was someone traveling with a French bulldog on a JetBlue flight. And for some reason, when they were at flying up in the altitude, wherever they were, and cabin pressure and air differences happen, the dog that was in the crate was starting to have trouble breathing. And she took the dog out, and it was struggling breathing. His tongue was turning blue. And, you know, hypoxia, the lack of oxygen, can be deadly. Don't worry, it's a feel-good story. The flight attendant, who noted, who happened to also have the same dog, noticed the dog's plight, brought it some ice because it was overheating, and that didn't help. So he contacted the captain of the flight and requested that they administer oxygen to the dog. And the captain immediately concurred. And with just a little bit of this fresh oxygen, this breath, the dog came to and was fine. Shout out to JetBlue. Right. Doing the right thing, avoiding a tragedy. Even it's just a dog. It's not just a dog. Now, last year, a movie came out called Last Breath. I haven't seen it, full disclosure. It's a thriller documentary, but it's based on an earlier documentary and a true story of a diver who suffered a catastrophic work incident up in the North Sea. The diver's name is Chris Lemons, and he'd been working on repairing an oil rig when the boat he was tethered to quickly started to drift away in the winds because the computerized system for keeping the ship in the right spot failed. Yes. And the divers were called to ascend quickly back to the diving bell, which is the contraption they went down in, safe spot. And as he attempted to do that, his cord, they call it the umbilical cord, got caught on a piece of metal. And he couldn't get loose. And as the boat is moving further away, it's stretching his cord until finally he lost communication. And then he lost everything. He lost power, he lost oxygen, and he lost the heat that they would pump into the suits because they were swimming in 37 degree water. And he sunk to 100 meters below the surface, total darkness. His emergency air supply, he figured, would last about 5 or 6 minutes. Now, his crew, which is the whole, you can imagine, plot of the movie, scrambling to try to figure out how to rescue him. And they managed to reboot the computer and get back to the location, dive down to search for him. 35 minutes it took. He had 6 minutes of air. Now, he talks about how he thought this was going to be his end. I mean, it's just like, how can it not be? And so he just kind of relaxed into it, lost consciousness. So his crewmates, when they found him and saw him laying there, figured this was now a rescue the body operation, a retrieval, not a rescue. But when they got to him, they pulled him up to the diving bell where they could administer oxygen. And after 2 breaths, he gained consciousness. Wow. Nothing about it really makes sense, but he was a saturation diver. So there's saturation of oxygen and helium in his body. And so they think maybe because he was saturated, his cells were saturated with oxygen. Maybe because of the coldness that slows down your metabolism and everything, kept him in a state that not only did he revive, he had no brain damage. He was back to diving in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Both dog and diver received new life from the breath they were given. We receive new life when we breathe in the Holy Spirit. Jesus showed up to the disciples who just days before watched him take his last breath on the cross. And in his death, they lost everything they had believed in, everything they had been hoping for, and now they're scared for their own lives, thinking they're the next ones to be a victim, and completely confused by this news of Mary, that she has seen Jesus. They were definitely in need of a reviving breath to bring new life to their traumatized souls. Now, what they didn't need, I'm guessing, is loud rushing of wind and tongues of fire showing up everywhere. That was fine 50 days later. But then, in that moment, they needed the gentle, intimate, healing breath of the Spirit and the offer of peace that Christ said twice, so they got the message. Now, there are times when we feel this presence of breath deeply, and then there are times when we're agitated, distraught, maybe even numb feeling, much like those in need of breath rescue. Busyness and stress can make us feel disconnected. I can feel like my oxygen cord has been severed, a little distracted. Sometimes I'm focusing on what's going wrong instead of all the things that are also going right. And I'm not open to receive the movement of the Spirit. Maybe you too can think of situations that are tugging you in those directions now. Things that are occupying more space in your head and your heart than maybe they have a right to. Things that block us from feeling connected. But the Spirit is always here. We pray and we sing, "Come, O Holy Spirit, come." But we know it's already here. So really, these words are to help us to open up to receive what is already given. Now, the beautiful thing I find about God, I mean, there's many beautiful things. One of the beautiful things is that God uses some of the most common elements in life to be symbols for us spiritually. Water, bread, wine, breath. That's the most basic of all. And it's a callback to the Jewish creation story, where God enlivens humans by breathing into the mud that he created them out of. A baby's first breath was an indication of life. And this breath that's always with us, always available to us, is something we can come back to. Slowing down to notice just means feeling the air going in and out of your nose or your mouth, depending on how you're breathing today. This is one of the simplest tools we have to reconnect to this ever-present Spirit. When you feel like you're in need of resuscitation, you don't actually have to wait for somebody else to come to you with oxygen. You can notice it yourself, because the Spirit is there just waiting. Practicing the technique of noticing your breath when you're not stressed, when you're not desperate, helps train your body to do it when you get the need. That's one of the benefits of a practice of silence, sitting in silence, or meditation, whatever you want to call it. Every day you can practice. Waiting at a red light, you can practice noticing your breath. Sitting in the doctor's office, standing in line, maybe taking 5 breaths before your meal to notice. The more we practice noticing, the easier it becomes. And we're not controlling our breath. We don't need to take deep breaths. That's a valuable practice, but a different one. But just notice. So let's try that for just a couple seconds. Breathe normally. But pay attention to how the air feels as it goes in and out of your nostrils or your lips. If it helps you to heighten that sense, close your eyes. Just watch and pay attention. That's God's breath going in, coming out. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit given by the risen Christ in you always. And with each breath, Jesus says, "Peace to you." So receive and be encouraged. Amen.